ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Yeah. It's time.
Yes.
It is time.
It is.
Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O, Pastor Nate to my right.
Yeah.
We are here with you hanging out.
Dude, I've been like doing a crazy health food diet lately. No, it's really good. I feel great.
Okay.
But then today, I had some Carl's Jr. and I feel sick as a dog.
Well, that's because you had Carl's. That's nasty.
Dude.
I'm just like fast food guy.
Oh my gosh. After being like eating super healthy, like eating anything that's remotely unhealthy, I'm like.
That's good though. That's good. That's just the reminder not to have crap in your body anymore.
Well, it wasn't even like, I thought it was so good. It's not that bad. I was having a grilled chicken salad from Carl's Jr. I thought, oh, that's not bad, but dude, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
I'm going to die.
505-338-3700, the phone number. You are listening to Shock Therapy Live.
Yes.
Your one-hour call-in show.
Steve-O's in his jams.
I'm in my PJs. You come in PJs before, so I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm wearing PJs.
I'm glad you did.
I'm chill. I had a birthday party today. I rocked some swimming with my kiddos.
Dude, that sounds nice.
You know what I'm saying? Got a little sunburned.
I just kind of went for white trash.
Let's go.
Backwards hat. Kind of looks like I have a mullet.
I loved it.
I love
what you're wearing today.
Yeah.
So, anyways, we already got people on the phone line. We got four email questions to get to.
I'm rubbing my beard on the microphone.
Facebook, gross. We've got Facebook questions already. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio, where you can throw your questions down. If you'd like to keep it anonymous, like the three that we've gotten over here, you can do so. Studio@MyStaticRadio.com.
Who uses this mic?
Everyone now.
Will you tell them all that I rub my beard on it?
Yeah, except you're just getting their spit on your beard. So it's kind of like gross for you.
I'll wash my beard.
You can also, that's true. 505-338-3700 if you'd like to call us in. Like this gentleman. Hello, you're in the air.
Yeah, I had a question. I was talking with a friend at work this week, asking him why him and his wife don't want to have kids at the moment, and he was saying that, well, in the current system, he's Jehovah's Witness, so in the current system, they don't want to have kids, and their hope is that they'll make it to the end alive, and then when they're in paradise, that they'll have, litters and litters and litters of children. And what I was trying to explain to him was, no, you know, in heaven, it's perfect, and there is no marriage or
you're like,
father,
so
daughter.
There aren't kids.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're just all children of God in heaven, but I'm not married to my wife. My dad's not my dad. All those relationships are severed. And that's what I was trying to explain to him. Am I wrong? Or if me and my wife were to make it to the rapture alive and be raptured, you know, not being dead, would we be married?
Dude, these are all great questions. Now, first of all, I'll dish it off to Pastor Nate, who's probably got a real intellectual answer, because for me, I'm like, your friend? That's stupid! That would be my answer. So, I'll give you a real answer now. Nate?
Yeah,
And don't say that's stupid, even though I know you want to.
Well, here's the difficulty. As far as heaven goes in relationships, the Bible doesn't talk a lot about it. The Bible doesn't talk about whether or not we're going to still be married to our spouses in heaven or
right.
really anything like that. It's not super clear on that. We do know that we're going to be able to recognize each other in heaven. So we're going to be able to recognize one another, and we're still going to have memories. So even if we're not married per se, like, oh, we're married, we live in the same mansion together or something, we're gonna recognize one another.
You know,
the clearest form of a resurrected body that we can get is the body of Jesus Christ. When Jesus was resurrected from the dead, that's the first sign we get of a resurrected body. And his body was a body with flesh and bones like a normal body would be, but it didn't have the limitations that our bodies do. He could walk through walls. He could travel very quickly from one place to another.
He's
not
a superhero.
Like running, like, yeah, nah, like more than a superhero.
Right.
Like super cool.
Yeah.
He could like fly.
Like a superhero.
Okay, shut up. Shut up.
Just so we can fuck.
Superman never died for you.
This is true. Unless you read the Death of Superman comic book run in the 90s, in which case he did die to save the Earth.
Sounds like a false religion to me.
Like Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, there you go.
I'm tying it all back in
nice.
Together. Okay.
So the Bible isn't super clear on that. We're going to recognize one another.
Right.
And we know relationships will be perfect in heaven. So if we are still married in heaven, it's going to be a perfect relationship. We're not going to have children. We read of in Adam and Eve when they're in the garden, it says that that what happens is part of the curse was childbirth, was giving birth to children. So when we're in heaven, there's not going to be childbirth anymore. And what's going to happen is each individual has the right and the option to choose Jesus, to choose God. So we're not going to get to heaven. It's like all of a sudden you start having babies and they're just granted eternal life because they never had the chance to choose on earth. So while we're here on earth is our opportunity to have children, get married. And each person is only given one opportunity to accept or reject Christ, and that opportunity is here on earth. So we know that we're not going to have kids in heaven because it wouldn't enable those kids to choose Jesus or not choose Jesus. Once we're in heaven, the choice is already made. Heaven and hell, it's over with. So there's not going to be childbirth in heaven. Now, obviously, I can't say that beyond a shadow of a doubt because the Bible isn't clear on it. So just as much as I can't say beyond a shadow of a doubt that we're not going to have kids in heaven, a Jehovah's Witness can't say that they are going to have kids in heaven. Because once again, the Bible isn't clear on the subject. The Bible is vague when it comes to really how our bodies are going to be in heaven, how relationships are going to work in heaven, how a lot of those things are going to work in heaven. So we have to take some of the, I guess you could say, secondary knowledge that the Bible gives us to try to come up with an answer and a reason to that.
Right. And I think of, you know, the one time the Sadducees were trying to trick Jesus and were like, hey, so there was this chick, right? And she got married and her husband died. And then she got married again and her husband died. And she got married again and her husband died. And it's like, dude, well, first of all, this lady's creepy and don't marry this chick.
Yeah.
Second of all, you know, and they're trying to like trap Jesus and say, which one's going to be her husband in heaven, you
yeah.
know? And I know people try and use that a lot to say, oh, well, see, there's no relationships because Jesus said that none of them were going to be her husband in heaven. But that wasn't the point of that. It was just to prove the Sadducees and showed at them how corrupt and wicked they were. And they were pointing to something that really wasn't significant when they should be looking at him.
Yeah.
Really, you know what I mean?
And that's really the point of heaven. Whether we're married or not, or whether we're, you know, living with our husbands or wives or not in heaven, when we get to heaven, that's not going to be on our priority list. What's going to be on our priority list is Jesus Christ.
Right.
And he's going to be what's going to be overshadowing any relationship. So, you know, that's the point of heaven. People always ask, well, is my dog going to be in heaven? Is my wife going to be in heaven? Am I going to have this in heaven? That's not going to matter when you're in heaven. And I know right now it seems like it does, and it seems like it's the most important thing. But when we're in heaven, that's really not going to matter. The glory of Christ and our relationship with him is going to overshadow anything else.
Does that help you out?
Yeah, thanks.
Right on, man.
All right, bye.
God bless, man.
You're listening to Shock Therapy Live, 505-338-3700, the phone number. You can also Facebook us, facebook.com/MyStaticRadio, or email us, studio@MyStaticRadio.com. We got a lot of email questions here.
Yeah.
That I'm going to open up as you speak.
Yeah, do it. You know, we're just talking about cool stuff, about... baby seagulls and pellet guns and talking about
dude, our men's
superheroes.
Group, our men's group this last weekend went out and shot rifles, and Jason,
yeah.
our dear friend Jason, shot this elephant gun and came to church today with like four gnarly bruises over
wow.
his right. Yeah, not very smart.
That
Anyways,
sounds fun.
Yeah, welcome to Shock Therapy Live. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'm doing well.
How are you?
Good, good. We just had a discussion with the family. We're having a baby boy. Not
congratulations.
Me personally. No, not me personally. A cousin of mine. And we
oh,
had the question
not congratulations.
Of, of circumcision or non-circumcision. And I'll go ahead and hang up and let you.
Wait. Before you hang up, wait. Are you asking on a ceremonial level, a health cleanliness level, like a biblical, legalistic level, or what kind of level are you asking? Because I'll tell you right now, as a dude, please circumcise that child.
I know that's my opinion.
For health reasons.
Okay, wait. On what level?
What level are you asking?
Biblically?
All of the above, but mostly biblical.
Okay, cool. All right, thank you. All right.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Yeah. I had to clarify because, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's an easy question because
yeah.
the Bible talks directly about it in the New Testament in numerous, numerous places. And the gist of it is that circumcision is of the heart, not of the body. Circumcision in the Jewish time period was a sign of the Jewish people's covenant with God. And they believed that as long as they were circumcised, that they were saved, more or less.
Right.
Now, fast forward to the New Testament, Jesus came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it and to take away these rules and regulations that the law provided, such as having sacrifices at the temple, such as having to be clean on the Sabbath day, making sure all these little rules, these little jots and tills we had to keep, including circumcision, where Paul tells us that a Jew is one who is one inwardly, not one outwardly. And what was happening is you were having the Judaizers who were basically ridiculing the Gentiles and saying the Gentiles couldn't be Christian, they couldn't get saved unless they were circumcised. And Paul battled strongly against this throughout the entire New Testament, saying that, look, that's not the truth, and it doesn't make you a Jew, it doesn't make you a Christian because you're circumcised, it's of the heart.
Right.
And basically the concept is that the Jewish people were circumcised because it was a sign that they were set apart for God in the Old Testament. Now, there was also health benefits to it, but it was mainly to signify to the other nations around them that they were set apart for God. So when we fast forward to the New Testament, the idea that circumcision of the heart, it means that your heart is set apart for God, and that is what's set apart for God. And cutting off the foreskin of your penis doesn't make you a Christian, but it's setting aside your heart that shows the world that you're a Christian. So we have to keep in mind different time periods. And I know a lot of people say, well, it's for health benefits, so you have to do that. There's actually been a lot of studies shown recently. The health benefits now in this time period with the cleanliness that we have today isn't substantial, and it really doesn't play a factor in it. Now, 2,000 years ago, when they would walk around in very dusty areas, they wouldn't take baths often, they wouldn't clean themselves often, it did play a factor, and there was a lot more health risk to it. But now we live in such a cleanliness environment, we live in such a... really, we live in a bubble that it doesn't play the same factors that it did back then. Now, from a male standpoint,
right?
Please do circumcise yeah. your children.
I'm like, it just looks weird, bro. All
well,
right?
No, I'm thinking not even that it looks weird.
You'll deal with it in the locker room.
High school, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of,
dude. When I was at a Christian high school, we had a friend who wasn't circumcised, and everyone made fun of him in the locker room.
Right.
To the point where he would towel change in like a corner so no one would see him take his pants off. It was just sad. I felt bad for him. So
whatever, you know you were in on that.
No, I was not.
You're such a liar.
So, you know, do it for your kids' sake.
Right.
Once again, there's no health really benefits, spiritual benefits. It's not going to condemn or save your child if they're circumcised or not. But from like bro to bro, dude,
just do
man,
it, man.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it.
505-338-3700, the phone number. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O, Pastor Nate Heitzig
like
in
braces.
Studio.
It's like braces.
Yeah, man.
Dude, when you got gnarly teeth, it's like, do I need braces for my health benefits? Probably not. Do I need braces because I'm going to get saved? No. I'm just going to get my kid braces because I like him.
Yeah, and I don't
just
want
like
people to
kid.
Pick on him because he looks like this.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
Or, there's just a lot. Like, if you had webbed toes, like, what if you had, like, skin beneath your toes? Like, maybe it would help you swim faster, but you'd look funny, so you want to get that cut. I had a friend. I had a friend in high school who literally had webbed feet. He was literally born with skin between his toes.
Wouldn't that be cheating? You could not be on the swim team if you have
God
webbed
made
feet.
Me that way.
Oh,
don't condemn me.
All right.
But he got that fixed because he just it's just not cool. It's not cool. Like, your buddy's at your house. Hey, check out my skin between my toes.
Yeah.
You're like, ooh, I thought I had bad toe jam. So, some things you just do because you love your kids.
There you go. All right. Hope that helps. If you'd like to chime in, if you have a question, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Or, of course, give us a call, 338-3700. All right. You ready to tackle some email questions this evening?
Oh, I guess.
All right. studio@mystaticradio.com, the email address. We
hey,
got
we have
this
a phone
one.
Call.
Oh, man. I'm gonna do the email question
I like phone
real
calls.
Quick. It's a question about Easter. The question is, why do churches celebrate it? This year it falls on April 8th. Isn't that a pagan holiday? I mean, it's for people who celebrate the holiday with eggs and chocolate and Easter bunnies to get them understand about the resurrection of Christ. I think there's something misleading about this whole idea. I'm a born-again Christian and a true believer in Christ. It's just confusing when the church celebrates it on the same day that stands for fertility. It's just like Christmas. It's not about trees or presents.
Oh my gosh.
So why are we even celebrating it?
I'm so sick of these stupid questions. Stop emailing us these dumb questions.
I would agree with you 150% because
I'm so sick of them.
It sounds and
stop worrying about what other people are doing. If you don't like the Easter egg and you don't like Easter bunnies and you just want to be on like a hunting and get the Waskaloo Abbot, then don't celebrate Easter. And you know what? It's about the resurrection of Christ, and that's why we as Christians celebrate it. So you know the world does stupid things. So you know people send these emails and well, it's about a pagan holiday and the world does trees and the world does presents and Santa Claus and the world does Easter eggs. The world does Easter Bunny. Yeah, the world also has sex out of wedlock. The world also does tons of drugs. The world also murders people. And I don't see Christians standing up that sending these emails saying, oh, what, we should do something about murder. We should do something about illicit sex. We should do something about unwedded pregnancy. We should do something about Easter.
Right.
When half the world is celebrating Jesus Christ who's resurrected, we should get mad about that.
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly what we should do. Show the world that we're really stupid. Let's really make the world hate us. I mean, seriously, this is of all days of the year, this is one of the days where you could invite your non-Christian friends to go to church with you, and they probably would.
Right.
They'll probably go to church with you at Easter and at Christmas time, and that's about it.
Right.
And if you're angry because they're pagan holidays and you lose out on the opportunity when they could have gotten saved, then shame on you.
Right.
You know, that might be the opportunity for your unsaved friends to come to know Jesus Christ, and you're more preoccupied with Easter bunnies.
Right.
So, you know what? I honestly don't think about the Easter Bunny at all at Easter time. I think about Jesus.
Yeah, well, I think of churches some churches don't even use the word Easter. They'll do Resurrection Sunday or whatever because they say, well, you don't want to say Easter because it's, you know, Easter, the pagan goddess of fertility and blah, 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 blah.
You know what? I'm sure every single day of the year was a pagan holiday at some point.
Well, yeah, think of Thursday is Thor. Wednesday is Odin's Day. You know what
yeah.
I mean? So every single day of the week on our calendar is actually named after a, like, Norse or Greek god. Right, so
that's because as a country
we can't celebrate Mondays.
It's because as a country, back to Great Britain. Great Britain came from the Norse, from a lot of the Norse tribes and whatnot that settled Great Britain. And Great Britain obviously settled America. So that's where we get a lot of these things. And what happened is when Christians started having these holidays, Christians changed it, which I think is a good thing. The Bible says to redeem the time, and that's what Christians did. And I mean the majority of people in America, if you ask them what significant biblical event do we celebrate on Easter, the majority of them will know that.
Right.
And for me, that's a sign that that, you know what, it doesn't matter what it used to be about. That's not what I'm doing it for.
Right.
You don't see us at our Easter sunrise service like praying to Norse gods.
Right.
Or having an Easter egg
Esther,
hunt.
Esther, the fertility goddess.
Or even having an Easter egg hunt. We're not having an Easter egg hunt. I don't think Easter egg hunts are bad. It's candy in an egg.
Right.
I mean, it's not like Satan in a pumpkin. Hey, guys, go find the little demon figure inside the pumpkins.
Right.
or hey, kids, go find the razor blades that we have hidden in acorn shells.
Right.
I mean, it's candy in an Easter egg. And you want to talk about non-threatening creatures? A bunny? Seriously? I'm going to be worried about a big bunny that wants to bring my kids candy? Unless that bunny is like a creepy guy hiding in a bunny suit.
Yeah, like Donnie Darko bunny? Maybe,
yeah,
I'd be worried.
I'm not going to get worried about it.
Yeah.
So that's the answer.
There it is.
And I know it sounded really mean, but I'm just sick of Christians getting mad at Christmas and Easter.
Right.
I think it's dumb.
Well, it goes towards anything that you have a personal conviction on that you try and force on everyone else because you're like, I have a personal conviction. I can't do this. I'm going to force it upon everyone else. No, I don't understand that. And I agree with you 150%.
Yeah.
You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. Pastor Nate Heitzig to my right. I am Steve-O. We got to take a very, very quick break. But on the way back, your phone calls, 505-338-3700, or of course, facebook.com/mystaticradio. If you'd like to keep it anonymous, you can do so. studio@mystaticradio.com. Email us and we'll get to it in the next segment right here on Shock Therapy Live.
Shock Therapy Live. A little heated by tonight's topic? No? Then we're not doing our job. What do you want to talk about? Comment now on facebook.com/mystaticradio or call 505-338-3700. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Welcome back to Therapy Live. I know, we had a phone caller.
Bro, you hung up on us. Call us back, man.
Check it out. 505-338-3700, the phone number. We now have two lines open.
I feel like a scorned girlfriend right now, man. Just had to end it like that.
Because we had to, like, talk to him during the break, and we got all excited.
Built a relationship.
Welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
How's it going, buddy?
How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, Just getting back to Las Cruces. Love you guys' show. I just want to commend you guys for last, I believe it was last week, I talked to a young lady.
Yeah.
Who is a homosexual who, I mean, you guys did a wonderful, wonderful job. You taught me a lot. I go out and I'm part of an evangelism group here at Las Cruces First Assembly.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys taught me one main thing. Do it with love.
There you go,
passion.
Man.
Amen.
Dude, and, that you know, John 13, 34, and 35, you know, by our love, all men will know we are Christ's disciples, by our love for one another.
Yeah. You're not really
amen to that. Amen
not really.
To that.
Not really,
and,
not really at all. Because he's actually talking about
Steve-O
loving on other Christians.
Steve-O just misquoted the Bible, actually.
Stop it. Well, I was loving you, and then
no,
she
I mean,
saw
actually, actually a really perfect topic. You inadvertently brought up a good topic for this show.
Yeah, you did.
And that is how Christians misquote
Bible verses
for their own use.
Well, here's another topic for you.
Yeah.
Because it's been coming up for the past 2 weeks with me, a pastor, and another fellow evangelist of mine, how to teach, encourage discipleship.
How to teach, encourage discipleship.
Teach and encourage discipleship. You know, how to give more confidence to those who say they're followers of Christ. And they you know, a lot of people will say, I follow Christ. But then we were like, all right, well, come and join us, and we'll go out on campus and spread the good word and the gospel. Oh, I don't have the confidence.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I would say one huge thing, and this is something we are really pushing here at Calvary in Albuquerque, is training. A lot of times people don't feel the confidence because they haven't had the training. They haven't had the knowledge put in them. And now there's certain things that you can do without training, but there's some things, you know, we want to be ready. And I'm of the assumption and the belief that unless you're ready and you know what you believe, you shouldn't go out and tell people what they need to believe, because they're going to put you in a corner and you're going to make God look worse. So, there's a mix to this. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to be an apologist and a theologian to go preach the gospel. But you should have a basic understanding of what you believe. And there are some Christians who don't. And when they go out and they tell people about God, the people bring up arguments that are easily defended and defeated arguments, but it puts the Christian in a corner where they look stupid. And then the other person thinks, oh, that's right, God isn't real. And it actually does more harm at times than it does good.
Yeah.
So I think a huge thing is training, that if you train people up, then they can have the confidence to do so. We have an evangelism ministry here at Calvary Albuquerque called Transmit that Pastor Jesse Lusco oversees. And every single week he does a training and he prepares people and teaches them how to argue and how to reason and how to defend the faith on the streets with people who don't know him. So I think training is hugely important. Whether that's training that is done through a book or whether that's training that's done through someone that you bring in to do training, I think that's really, really important. I also think it's important to, you know, screen those who go out and make sure you're not bringing in somebody who's just a baby in their faith. And what could happen if someone's a baby in their faith and they have an argument with somebody and that person brings up points that, once again, are easily defended, but they don't know these points, they can actually, you know, doubt their faith and say, oh, I've never thought about that. Maybe you're right. So, you know, I think that that if someone's saying they don't feel comfortable, try to make them comfortable. And the best way to do that is by giving them training and giving them wisdom and equipping them to do so.
Well, here's my only thought, or my only, I guess, I don't know how to say it, but anyways, with that about waiting, I guess, or training them, I mean, we don't know the time. I think the time is now.
What time?
To get out and do it now, to go out and spread the word now. We don't know the time when Jesus is going to return, right?
True.
True? Okay. So I just want to make sure I'm in line here.
Yeah.
Well, I would say true to that statement, but I wouldn't say necessarily true that I agree with this approach.
True, we don't know the time when Jesus is going to return, but at the same time, we want to make sure that if we're giving a witness for Jesus, that we're giving a good witness for Jesus.
I think of, look at Paul, man. Paul didn't just immediately, when he was on the road to Damascus, and all of a sudden, like, booyah, he got Jesus burns on his eyes, and he had to go, you know what I mean? He hung out for 3 years and got discipled for 3 years before he ever went out and did anything himself. You know what I mean? So
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and so like Peter and Paul, John, everybody then was saying, dude, this is it. It's the end of times. You know what I mean?
Now,
and so we need to be prepared at all times. And these are things that they were saying. But Paul was still discipled for 3 whole years before he ever went out and did any form of ministry, because you have to know. You have to be prepared.
But now, I do want to add a caveat to that. There's a lot of Christians use that as an excuse. Well, I just don't know enough. And since I don't know enough, I'll just leave that to the professionals. God did call us all. There are no professionals. God called us all to evangelize. So there comes a point when we do have a good relationship with God, when we have been taught the word, that we just need to go out and do it. So I agree with you there. There's some Christians who have been going to church for years and years and years. They have a firm foundation and a walk with God, and they're just too scared to go evangelize. And if that's the case, they just need to, you know, do it. They just need to stop being scared about it and just go do it. And one of the ways that I've found is a good way to get their feet wet is if you have an event or if you have business cards for the church, you bring a group out there and you say, hey, just go pass this card out to somebody and invite them to this event. And then if a conversation starts, just have a conversation with them. And that's an easy way, because they don't feel threatened, like they have to just go up and say, hey, do you know about Jesus? Another good way is to give them little tools. One thing, they have these little coins that have like John 3:16 on them. And what you can do is you can have those in your pocket and just say, hey, can I give you this free coin? And then you can give it to them and they read it and say, can I talk to you about that? And it opens the conversation, so it doesn't feel as contrived, which is one thing that people are scared about. So there are certain ways that you can make it easier for people, but I would definitely say, you know, it's a case-by-case basis. You've got to think about who you're talking to. If you're talking to someone who's young in their faith and they really aren't equipped and they're really not going to have answers for people, basic answers, once again, I'm talking deep theological answers. I'm talking basic answers. You know, do we really, most Christians don't really know what we believe. You think about the basic doctrine of the Bible, the doctrine of God. God the Father. So do we know the basic doctrine of God the Father? Do we know his attributes? Do we know the equal weighing of love, grace, and judgment? Do we know Jesus? Do we understand why he came? Do we understand what it meant when he hung on the cross and when he took our sins for us? Do we understand the duality of Christ, the dual nature of Christ, and how important that is? The Holy Spirit, do we understand who the Holy Spirit is, what his role is within our lives? Do we understand the nature of man, the sin nature of man? Completely, and do we completely understand the nature of man? If not, if we don't understand some of these basic things that we as Christians should understand, then we shouldn't be going out and sharing our faith, because we need to train ourselves up before we go out and try to train other people. So we want to make sure we have the basic understanding. And once we have that basic understanding, we do it. Once again, I always tell people, there's always going to be questions that you don't know how to answer. And you don't have to feel bad about that. If you don't know how to answer a question, you can say, you know what? I honestly don't know the answer to that, but I could find it for you. But the basic understanding, the basics, the doctrines of the Bible, we need to understand those before we go out and try to represent that.
And then here's my only another, I guess, argument, just to throw it out there, because I agree with you on everything. But I don't think, you know, people out there say, I can do all things through Christ who is within me.
You know,
I can go out and speak about these things. I'm just using this as an example again to start up more conversation
I want
to try to encourage more people to get out there and do this.
You can go out, and Christ does strengthen us, but God doesn't reward negligence. So if a believer hasn't taken the time to study and understand what they believe, and they're just confident and say, I don't have to study, I can just, you know, whatever, I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me, God isn't going to reward negligence or laziness. So, you know, God, the Bible says, be ready in season and out of season to give
prepared.
An answer. And that means that we would have studied the scriptures and know.
Okay.
So if we're not ready in season and out of season to give an answer, then we shouldn't go to try to give answers. We need to be ready. We need to be prepared. So, you know, God will give us, and that's the cool thing. And that's why what that verse is really speaking of is that, you know, Christ, I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me, is that when we're ready and we've studied the scriptures and we understand the truth of God's word and we go and spread the gospel, you know, our minds aren't huge. So we can have read something, you know, 2 years ago and not think of it. But in that moment, when we're preaching that person, God can give us through supernatural power remembrance of those things that we've already learned and studied, and it will come to our mind. That's why when we're preaching to somebody, a verse that we forgot we even knew comes to our mind, and we're like, well, what about this verse? You know, because we've read it before, we've studied to show ourselves approved. The Bible says that, study to show yourself approved. So that would also connotate that if you haven't studied, you're not approved. So we want to study to show ourselves approved. And in that time, once we're studied, once we have the answers, God will bring those answers back to our mind when we need them.
All right. Well, like I said, I just wanted to get, some discussion about it all.
Yeah.
And, get more. I mean, because we have training available here. We use the way of the master over here. And we have weekly classes. And there's the intermediate classes going on right now. And, we offer for people to go and join the ones who have done this. Multiple times, you know.
I want to give you a really great resource that'll actually really help you. Like I said, the basics, you know, you don't have to understand philosophically and logically how to argue with somebody. You need to know the basics of what you believe, and that really boils down to doctrine and worldview. So I think it's so important to have everyone in your church having a firm foundation of what a Christian worldview is. And a great resource for that, it's a resource called The Truth Project. And what it is, it's a course, it's a set of DVDs that you can go through that gives a young believer a firm foundation understanding of a Christian worldview, a complete Christian worldview. You can get the DVDs online, and it's really helpful. And I would encourage you, if there's people who are saying, man, they don't feel prepared, get the Truth Project and hold a class at your church where your church members can go through it, and it will prepare them more than they could ever be prepared understanding what a Christian worldview is all about and also how to defend the Christian worldview.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Our church actually recently went through that, and it fired us up, man.
Yeah.
Because it really does. It prepares you. You go through every aspect of life, everything.
Oh, yeah.
Sociology, physiology, I mean, literally everything. And it really...
And it teaches you how to defend it. It doesn't just say, this is what we believe. It says, this is what we believe, and this is why it's right.
This is why it's right. Here's what the Bible says about that. And so that's why it's so important.
So, yeah, check that out. It's called The Truth Project.
Yeah,
the
man.
The Truth Project. Yes, I will. You know, and it's like you say, the things that we are going to see when we're out there, I never saw... The devil attack, be on the attack like I had up until 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, I never knew how much the devil was really at work until that time.
And, you know, here's another way that we that I've gotten people who don't feel comfortable or prepared to go out and street witness. We'll invite them out sometimes and say, hey, you know what? Come out with us the first time, and you don't have to say anything. Just watch us.
Oh, yeah, and that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, because we go in groups anyways when we go out and street witness, and what we'll do is we'll have someone who's more experienced and more comfortable do the talking, let the other person just kind of sit back and watch, and they start to learn exactly how to do it and what happens, and it gives them courage. And then by the end of the night, they want to try it themselves. So that's always a good thing to do. So, you know, encourage people that way that, look, you don't have to come out and actually do it. Just come out and watch us and see how we do it, and that can sometimes help.
Oh, yeah. That's what we try to say. Hey, just come out, walk with us, pray over us, pray for us. So that, you know, we can hopefully have the right words to say to these people.
I would take it to Colossians chapter 4. I need to redeem myself since I started off with, you know, John 13:34 and 35, and that was believers talking about treating other believers well. So how about this?
Like a Joel Osteen.
I really did. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, it says, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, speaking of unbelievers. Walk in wisdom, and there's that word again, wisdom, toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. And there it is. That's like your mission statement for how you should approach each non-believer. Seriously. You walk in wisdom. You let your speech be gracious. Seasoned with salt. Truth still needs to be up in that. You know what I'm saying? Which is why you need to walk in wisdom. Because if you don't know the truth, you know, these youngins who are going out with you, then, man, it can be a sometimes more dangerous and harmful.
Because evangelism isn't 20 questions or who wants to be a millionaire.
Right.
Evangelism is all about having a conversation, a real conversation with somebody like Jesus. You know, I look at the way that Jesus ministered to the woman at the well, the prostitute who was going to get stoned. He asked them questions. He asked them questions about their life. He was invested in who they were, and he had a conversation with them, and that love really broke it broke through into their heart. And that's what I encourage people, especially if people don't have a firm foundation of apologetics, is look, you don't have to talk about apologetics. You don't have to go in there and say, let me tell you why Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You can go in there and just ask some questions. Say, hey, so what do you believe? You know, and just start talking to them and just have a normal conversation with them. And when we do that, when we do it in love and grace, God breaks a hole through their heart, and he comes in.
Well, I think of how we, you know, you mentioned the conversation we had last week with that young lady who called in, and that was really it. It was more talking to her about what she believed. How do you believe that? How do you know what you believe is real? What do you believe? Where does this God come from? So it was less about Jesus. This is it. And if you don't do this, you're going to burn in hell. It was more about speaking to that person, and really it's a relationship. People don't care. They don't care. Who is this person coming up to me? And you can have all the best intentions in the world, but man, if you don't prove to them, if you don't show them that you truly do care about them, then they're just going to blow you off. And that was just, that's just it, man. Cause I truly cared about that person who called in last week, man. Yeah. I was immediately.
And that's what I'm saying. You guys did it all out of love. And I commend you for that, because that's something that I'm asking the Lord to give me.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So,
we ran into a Muslim this week, on campus, and, it was one of the most amazing conversations we've had.
Cool, man.
That's awesome, man. Praise the Lord.
Right on.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks for calling.
Yes, you guys keep doing your due, man.
You too.
I'll keep praying for you guys.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right. We'll see you.
God bless, man.
You're listening to Shock Therapy Live, 505-338-3700, the phone number. We have to take our final break.
Yes.
But the phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. We got Facebook questions. We got a couple more email questions we need to get to, and we'll do that right after this.
Shock Therapy Live. Maybe this time the treatment will take. Follow tonight's topic at facebook.com/mystaticradio or at 505-338-3700. If you think you can handle the spewing of hard truth, time to treat more of your disorders with Steve-O and Nate. This is Shock Therapy Live.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back to Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O and Pastor Nate. And, dude, the phone lines are lighting up. They're kind of jammed. Hang on the line, and we'll get to you guys in order. 505-338-3700.
Yes.
Yeah. You ready to take these?
Yes, let's do
it. All right. Hello, welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Fire round.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing
good,
well,
man. How are you doing?
Good, good. Hey, so first off, I wanted to tell you guys rock. I love listening to the show.
Thanks, man.
I would borderline say I'm addicted to it.
That's totally cool.
We like that. Addicted to Jesus is okay.
Yeah, that's a good addiction.
I'm not saying that we're Jesus.
No.
But, I mean, we're definitely his ambassadors.
So. There you go. Ref in Christ.
So quick question for you.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you guys had any idea what kind of carpenter Jesus was.
Yeah, it's a good question. The perfect one?
Yeah, the one that doesn't suck at his job?
Yeah, the one that's really good.
I bet one who went to work every day and never complained?
I bet Jesus made a wicked rocking chair.
Better than the ones outside a Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, the Bible doesn't say what kind of carpenter he was. It just says that he was a carpenter, that his father Joseph was a carpenter. I guess it's up for interpretation as to what kind of carpenter he was. Perhaps he made furniture. Perhaps he helped build houses. Who knows? Maybe he even made Roman crosses. We don't know. And I think the gist of it is that in the scheme of our belief in Christ and in the doctrine of Christ, it's not vitally important to know what kind of carpenter he was. It's definitely an interesting question. I think it's like along the lines of importance of what color eyes did he have.
I'm pretty sure this was the coolest question we've ever gotten.
Did he have like a wicked long beard, or did he just have a goatee?
I don't think he had long. I'll be honest.
He didn't have a soul patch, because only Satan has those.
I don't think he had long hair.
You don't?
Nope.
Why not?
I'll tell you that right now. Because he was a carpenter, one. He worked with his hands a lot, and it would keep getting in his eyes. And the reason, if you go back, the reason why he was always painted or drawn with long hair is because he was from Nazareth in the Nazarite vow, but he wasn't one who took the Nazarite vow like Samson. So therefore, you don't know if he had long hair or not. But as a carpenter, I would highly doubt he would have long hair, because it would get in the way of his job. Huh. Booyah!
What about a beard? Did he have a beard?
Probably. Who knows?
Why?
Oh, yeah, because...
Why did he have a beard?
Here's why he had a beard. Because biblically it talks about them pulling on his beard.
Oh,
what now, fool?
Man.
What now? Then taking it to the Bible!
That's, that was pretty good. Did he have a hairy chest or not a hairy chest?
Yes, stop it.
Was he well manicured?
You think that somebody like has like a Christ cabinet like locked away somewhere?
That would sell for mad cash on eBay.
Right?
I'm telling
man,
you.
Man,
I highly doubt it.
I being in Israel and seeing like the stuff from the time of Jesus, there's not a lot of wood still around from that time period.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
mostly stone, and even the stone's in pretty bad shape. So
yeah.
I don't think so. That'd be pretty sick though. I would totally rock like a Christ cabinet in my house. Dude,
wow.
Man,
this is the most random.
I want a Christ
phone
cabinet.
Call. Thank you so much for listening and for calling in tonight, man.
Thanks,
no
bro.
Thank
all
you
right,
guys.
Have a great night. 505-338-3700.
That was a fun question.
If you'd like to chime in on the conversation, we now have a phone line open. Our phone lines have been jammed all night.
Yeah,
I like this. Hello, welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Hello,
hello,
hello.
Hi,
hey.
What's up, guys? This is Jeremiah. How you doing?
Hey,
good,
Jeremiah.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm blessed, Nate. I got a quick question for you. I got like a mentor slash uncle that is an awesome golly dude like my entire life and always planted seeds in me and always encouraged me. And it seems he's getting led astray is the best way to put it.
Okay.
By blueoceanface.org. You can look it up right now.
I don't know if you've never heard of it.
And it's just... I don't know. There's a lot of red flags when I read into it and this and that. And what's the best way to go about approaching someone that's obviously an elder to me and, you know, saying it in grace and in love, but still being respectful and, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I would say it's the same. First of all, is this Jeremiah Wood? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Is this Jeremiah Wood?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's up, buddy? Hey.
What's up, bro?
Is this the first time you've called in?
Yeah.
I love it. Welcome
long-time
to the show.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. You know.
Okay, so on this issue of how do you approach an elder with an issue like this, number one, first of all, I would say make sure that this website or whatever it is unbiblical. Find areas in the website that aren't biblical. Match them up to scriptures that show that.
Right.
Bring the scriptures with you and have it written down and have it detailed so that you're ready and you have exactly what's going on. Then approach them in love and say, hey, I just want to let you know I looked at this website and I'm worried about it. Not that I'm worried about you, but I'm worried about it. Here's some reasons why. Show him why it's unbiblical. And then hopefully let him come to his own conclusion and realize, oh man, I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that was unbiblical. I didn't realize the Bible said this. If you have clear biblical proof, you can't really argue with it. If he does argue with it, then it shows something deeper, that it's no longer just the website, but it's him himself that's been led astray. And then you have to be a little bit more harsh with him. You can first come in love and say, hey, I wanted you to know this is what the website says. And if that works, praise the Lord. If not, then you've got to say, look, this is unbiblical. And you're falling into it, and it's a false prophet. If you continue down this road, you're going to be labeled a false prophet as well.
Now, of course, you have, like Nate said, make sure you
know have it written down, yeah.
that it's unbiblical, and it's not just like, yeah, but they dunk these, they don't fully dunk them in baptism. They use a glass of water. Like,
yeah.
Okay, that's just preference.
Yeah, find
that's
things,
not.
Find things that you can show this is unbiblical.
Unbiblical
and,
is the
and yeah, once again, when we're talking unbiblical, we're not talking like the non essentials. We're talking the essentials. Like,
right.
Once again, baptism, not a big deal how they baptize. You know, if it's like a Calvinist Arminianist issue, not a big deal.
Right.
The Bible isn't super...
How big is the cracker for communion?
Yeah. You know, but when we're talking about essentials, the divinity of Christ, the duality, the dual nature of Christ, when we're talking
yeah.
about the resurrection...
Salvation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're things that are worth dividing over. You want to find things like that that you know are unbiblical with it and jot them down. And if you can't find anything on the website, maybe dig a little deeper. Call, ask them questions, you know. Yeah, you're a smart dude. You know the questions that you can ask to find out someone's biblical. Ask them those kind of questions and try to get a feel for where they stand doctrinally.
Awesome. Yeah, appreciate it. No,
yeah,
I was
man.
Looking at it and everything, and it just they don't even mention anything about salvation and what we all need, because we all need that. We're all in need of a Savior. But they don't even mention that like in their what we're about statement.
Man.
What are they about?
You know, I know. That's the thing. Oh, you know, we're about having conversation, and that was the first red flag.
Ask him. What I would do is, first of all, look on the website and then call him and say, hey, I just had a couple questions. Who was Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fun one. Paul says, if they deny that there's no Jesus Christ, then...
Yeah, you know, that'll be really quick to be able to hear who they are. Well, Jesus Christ was God. Or, well, he was like a really good person. Right. Was he just a good person or was he God? Well, you know, you'll be able to
right.
really quick
right.
get an understanding of their doctrinal belief when you call them and ask them that question. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, man.
Cool, man.
No
hey, Jeremiah. By the
What's
way,
up?
I saw that that video that you were in, the ransom video, man. Dude, that was epic. You did a great job.
You're not supposed to be talking about it yet.
I know.
Right?
That was just super quiet. Like, that was so
what
vague.
No what, one, what are you talking about? I don't
it's
even
vague.
Know.
Now
okay.
people are like, what?
I saw you in the Ecclesiastes video, and that was legit.
Yeah, the Cracker Barrel, right? Those rocking chairs are awesome.
Yeah, sweet. All right, man.
All right, buddy. Love you, man.
505-338-3700. You're tuned in to Shock Therapy Live on Static Radio.
Yes.
Dude, phone lines are jammed, so let's just keep going.
Let's do
Hello,
it.
Shock Therapy Live.
Hello.
Hi.
Yo, yo, yo.
Hi. So I have a question. I'm confused about the whole keeping the Sabbath day holy. I don't, like, what is the Sabbath day and how do you keep it holy?
Yeah.
The Sabbath day, it really boils down to, what's this website? FARC. What is FARC?
It's a website that I find news information on.
I just accidentally clicked it.
Squirrel!
Sorry.
Stop getting distracted.
So the Sabbath day originates to the Old Testament law, which the Sabbath day was the seventh day of the week, and the Jews were required by God to keep the Sabbath day holy, and by keeping it holy, they were to not work on the Sabbath day. They were to keep that day for the worship of God, and it was kind of like their day off. You could think of it as like a God-ordained vacation day that, hey, you guys work a lot. Once again, they didn't have like weekends in the Bible times. They worked
right.
their butt
right.
off every day of the week, and God was like, hey, you guys need time to take a break. It boils down to when God rested on the seventh day when he created the heavens and the earth. So he gave that same rest day to mankind. Then what happened is you had the Judaizers, you had the scribes and the Pharisees and all these people that they ended up taking taking the law of the Sabbath, and they decided, you know what, it doesn't explain it enough in the Bible that we shouldn't work, so we've got to explain that. So they came up with a crazy list of rules about how you were supposed to keep the Sabbath.
You can't even like flip a light switch on the Sabbath because that's considered work according to
them. Yeah, and it became really extreme.
And legalistic.
And then once again, when Jesus came into the picture, Jesus came, as we already said before on this show, not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And then we go into the New Testament, we read about Paul and Peter and about their view of the Sabbath. And their view is, look, the Sabbath doesn't matter what day it is. If you worship God on this day, if you worship God on that day, it doesn't matter. And it really boils down to not even work anymore in the New Testament, but a day to worship God. So it really boils down to a day set apart from all the other days of the week, which is a chance for you to worship God. It's a chance for you to come in before the presence of the Lord and worship him and to commune with him. Whether that's the seventh day or the sixth day or the fifth day or the first day, it doesn't matter. It's a time for you to get alone with God and to worship God. So that's the gist of what we have from the Sabbath in the New Testament.
Wow. Okay. Thank you so much. I really never understood it, but
yeah.
I was kind of worried because I'm like, okay, you know, I'm a college student. Saturdays and Sundays, it's nearly impossible to get a Saturday or Sunday off.
I understand.
I'm like, how does this work?
Where do you go to fellowship?
Renovate.
Awesome. Praise the Lord. That's what I was gonna ask. Awesome.
I'm brand new. I just moved from Las Cruces, and I went to Renovate alone, and I was scared at first and kind of like, I don't want to be, you know, by myself. And then, you know, God's like, you're not by yourself, you're with me.
Amen.
So I went with God my first day in Renovate, and I've met some amazing girls, and they have a little Bible study they do themselves.
Awesome.
And we've been teaching each other, helping each other find things out in the Bible. We're going through the book of Acts right now, which tied into your message last Thursday. So,
oh, praise the Lord.
It's amazing.
Dude, awesome. Right on.
Well, hey, if you ever have any questions, come talk to me. Say, I talked to you on the radio, and I'll answer any questions you have, all right?
There you go.
Yeah, I will. Thank you guys so much.
All right.
Thanks for
the last guy said he's addicted to the show. I am too. So
right on. Awesome. We like to hear that.
All right.
All right. Great. You guys have a good one.
Thank you. Thank you. You too.
All right. 505-338-3700. We got about 2.5 minutes.
Deadline.
Okay. Man. I was trying to race to get to that last one.
Yeah.
Now the phone line is definitely open. 505-338-3700.
We've had a lot of phone calls. We haven't gotten to like any like normal.
I know. Hello,
normally,
Shock Therapy Live.
By so many other things. Hello.
Evo.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey.
What's up, man?
Oh, this is Jamal, by the way.
Jamal, hey, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. How about you?
Good, man.
I had a question on behalf of my amazing grandma, actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's up?
how do you know when the Holy Spirit enters your body?
I like this one, super easy question,
actually. The Holy Spirit enters your body when you accept Jesus Christ. There's two versions of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The first anointing every believer gets when they truthfully accept Jesus Christ. When we ask Christ to come into our lives, we receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, we receive another anointing of the Holy Spirit when we actually get what we would consider the actual anointing of the Holy Spirit. So every believer has the Holy Spirit living inside of them. The Holy Spirit, I guess you could call it, is like the conscience. He's speaking to you. He's telling you, you know, oh, hey, go tell that person about Jesus. The Holy Spirit works in all believers. And then there comes a time, the Bible talks about an act where we pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which this time it's no longer a seal of salvation and justification. At this point, it's there to reveal the gifts of the Spirit and to enable us to use the gifts of the Spirit. So, once again, the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer, every believer, is a mark and a seal of justification and our rightness with Christ. That it's almost like God's down payment on us, saying, hey, I'm going to come back and get you. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. It's His anointing on our lives as a mark that we are His, that we are saved. And then once we come to a place where we want to grow deeper and climb higher, we want to, you know, really the gifts revealed to us, we pray and ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that's a different thing than actually having the Holy Spirit.
Would that be kind of like, I know, because people will try, is the anointing of the Holy Spirit the same as the quote-unquote baptism of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
That's a pretty awesome answer.
All right.
Awesome, man.
Pastor Nate, before I forget,
yeah, what's up, man?
About an application for Out Loud Worship.
Dude, praise the Lord. We're going to get you plugged in there in Santa Fe.
Nice.
Awesome, Jamal. Dude, you rock, bro. Thanks for calling in, man.
No problem. Hope to see you next Sunday.
Yes, sir.
Right, there
God
it
bless,
is.
Buddy.
Cool. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O, Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Yes.
Let's talk real quick. We have about 25 seconds before the awesome music kicks up. Renovate, something very special coming up April 12th with Aaron Gillespie. That dude is amazing.
Dude, he's awesome. What a good heart.
So we're going to be throwing down something very, very special that night. Static Radio is going to be there as well.
Yeah,
and Aaron Gillespie rocking the worship. And you are in an amazing series right now. And yeah, details. RenovateABQ.org.
Yeah, RenovateABQ.org. It's at 7:30, April 12th. So check it out. It's going to be a blast. It's free, so you can come hear Aaron Gillespie for free, previous drummer of Under Oath. Invite a non-save friend. You know, they might not come to hear Renovate Worship Band, but they might come to hear the
Aaron
drummer
Gillespie.
Of Under Oath. So
yeah, dude.
Invite
Under
him.
Oath, Almost, his solo stuff. He
it's
is
gonna be
brilliant.
Awesome. It's
going to
be great.
So, yeah, RenovateABQ.org.
Yes, sir.
I will be hanging out for that as well. I cannot wait.
Love it.
So it's going to be awesome. Dude, fantastic show.
Yes.
We've
good
had
times.
The phone lines jammed like all evening.
We just
so,
got another call, huh?
Yeah. So
damn,
thanks to
craziness.
Everybody who called in tonight. The podcast will be up tomorrow morning at mystaticradio.com. You can also subscribe to it on iTunes. It's absolutely free.
Yep.
Thanks to every single person who listens to
thanks
the show.
Thanks for listening. Tell your friends.
Yeah.
We love you guys. Sincerely.
There it is. All right. Peace out. We'll see you next week.
Y'all my homies.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.